So this morning, continuing along the idea of theosophy and the theosophical movement, we will have a panel presentation on the impulse behind the theosophical movement. Previous Sundays this month, we've taken up the subject of what is theosophy and the three objects of the Theosophical Society or the Theosophical Movement. But today, our panelists are going to look at the various aspects of the impulse behind the Theosophical Movement. So we might begin with this general thought that the impulse behind the Theosophical Movement is spiritual in origin and spiritual in effect. Being spiritual in origin, it is invisible, continuous, universal, timeless, and creative. Being spiritual in effect, its expression changes, but it is always observable on the moral, ethical, mental, psychical, vital, and physical planes. Now, the spiritual expression of the Theosophical Movement varies and may manifest in the actions of thoughts of individuals, nations, and civilizations. Regardless, though, of the variety of expressions of the movement, the unvarying character of these finite and observable manifestations over time is their similarity of aim, aspiration, purpose, and spiritual ideas. The similarity of aim, purpose, and aspiration may be identified as liberation, improvement, and unity of the human condition and that of all conscious being. The spiritual ideas that bind these expressions of the Theosophical Movement are few, but they're definitely identifiable. One would be the emphasis on the idea and practice of universal brotherhood, the idea of universal natural law, which is also divine law, and the perfectibility of the human free being through evolution and individual merit. So we want to go into this a little bit deeper by looking at some of the factors involved in the impulse behind the spiritual, behind the Theosophical Movement. And this first presentation will look at more at the divine impulse behind the movement and the cyclical impulse behind the movement. And our next panelist will look at the impulse from the perspective of evolution and the existence of human beings who have perfected their natures, spiritual, physical, psychical, mental, as high as possible in this particular period of evolution. So, beginning with the first consideration, a universe, a world, or a being, or a movement originates in an unknowable, unexpressible, eternal, unlimited, and inclusive source. And since it really cannot be named, it is no thing that has any attributes. We are going to call it the deific principle, although around the world in different traditions, it's given many names. But we'll call it for the purpose of unity of understanding the deific principle. So the first expression or periodic manifestation of the deific source of all things, forces, and changing movements is spirit. Now, spirit has been symbolized in different traditions as a great breath, an outbreathing of the divine deific principle. It's been expressed as the divine voice or vibration, the first expression or emanation or vibration in evolution, or it's been expressed as divine light, divine will, or intention, all of which are universal and omnipresent. But regardless of the terms used, it's the idea of spirit being the first manifestation of this absolute one reality, the deific principle. So, as all beings are inseparable in essence from the one absolute principle and identical with it and have come forth from it, this one universal changeless principle and its one universal expression we call spirit, universal brotherhood is a fact in nature. And therefore, all human beings possess the awareness of that principle within themselves, or the potential for the awareness, and all human beings possess in their spiritual nature the potency, the same creative potency as that source from which they come. And we might take this profound metaphysical idea to our own individual lives and observe that when we first awake in the morning, before we even get around to our physical activities, there first arises in our mind that consciousness or that will or that intention. We might call it spirit. For without that, there is no impulse to begin to get up and perform the duties of our day. And along with that, there soon arises the awareness of the ideas or the plan or what we need to accomplish that day. So we see in every human being a mirroring of this universal process. So it is this same spiritual impulse arising and inherent in human beings of every nation and race and every time, which is the impulse behind the theosophical movement. And we might say that the various expressions of the movement are a response or to fulfill that need and thirst and sympathy of the our inner spiritual nature. So this is the spiritual impulse behind the theosophical movement, which is both indestructible, universal, and eternal, because it's from that one eternal source, but it's also periodic in expression, universal, identical, and changeable in its expression. And we're going to have a very interesting talk next week so that we can begin to trace throughout our recorded history evidences of the expression of the theosophical movement in every nation and race and time. So the second aspect is behind this impulse, behind the theosophical movement is that of universal divine and natural law, which we call periodicity or cycles. And it is divine because its origin and original impulse is within the deific principle. We said periodically we have coming forth from that one absolute principle, the universe, the outbreathing, the expression of that principle, and periodically the universe withdraws into self, just like human beings have their waking and sleeping, their day and night. But it is also natural a natural law because this law of cycles can be observed in every department of nature. It is essentially a return of impression that has a great effect in human life and the evolution of all forms of life, affecting man specifically, the human being specifically, are the return of impressions resulting in spiritual, moral, psychic, mental, or intellectual cycles. Historically, we can trace these same cycles in nations, races, and civilizations, giving rise to a variety of movements. So the individual human life also sees cycles, and we can trace them throughout our days, our weeks, our months, and our years. The return of previous sensations and impressions and memories. So the law of cycles, the return of impressions, is really inseparable from the law of cause and effect, since the return of these impressions is but the effect of a previous cause initiated either by individuals, nations, races, and experienced on the different planes of their being. So cyclic law and the law of cause and effect are also aspects of the impulse behind the theosophical movement, because its expression, as we will soon see, is a result of the cyclic law. So we'll turn this presentation then over to the next panelist. Unmute. Unmute, please.
So we just heard about the first two ideas of, we look at them as being the fundamental propositions, and we hear those presented every other Wednesday. But and we did learn just now how they affect or express this idea of the impulse behind the theosophical movement. We also heard about the idea how the first fundamental is based on kind of is the foundation for the two following fundamentals, that of law and that of evolution. We can also look at the idea of these fundamentals as being what is being looked at, what is the impression, and that is deity. And it is that one infinite principle from which all causes do proceed from it. Now, we sometimes present the three fundamental propositions in a way that it looks as though they're three separate ideas. But in reality, they are all impressions from the absolute. Deity does not manifest, but manifestation proceeds from it. So law then can be considered the process of that manifestation. And why the soul progresses and how it is the purpose for the soul to return home, so to speak, back to the all. So this is how these ideas, how deities' impressions proceed. And as was mentioned, cycles and karma and reincarnation are involved as well. So the whole why of this process is evolution. It is the passage of the soul through many lives, and it functions under this aspect of law to reach its home. The purpose, this is the purpose, is to develop spiritually. But we look at what happens during this process. All beings have evolved from lower grades, and they progress in the human kingdom by self-induced and self-devised means. And the human kingdom is able to choose, whereas with the lower kingdoms, it is by natural impulse. Now, there is a statement in the philosophy which is called the pivotal doctrine, and it expresses the idea that the human kingdom can only progress by his own responsibility and choices. No one or no thing can make that decision for him. It is all by his choices, no one else. Man will receive no privileges or special gifts. So the impulse mentioned in that first fundamental is spiritual, or the monadic spiritual nature of humanity. The impulse follows through all ages, encouraging the spiritual nature to proceed. The monad, which is what reincarnates for, Mr. Judge says in the Ocean of Theosophy that evolution cannot proceed without the monad. And the monad can be said to be Atma and Buddhi, in the human kingdom, with mind lit up, whereas in the lower kingdoms, it is just Atma and Buddhi with mind in germ form. And we want to just read, this is from a pamphlet called The United Lodge of Theosophists, Its Mission and Future. And the section is on masters and their messengers. The theosophical movement cannot be understood without the recognition that masters exist as facts in nature, not merely as ideals, and that they take an active part in the government of the natural order of things. Evolution is to be regarded as threefold, spiritual and mental, as well as physical. Man and nature as something more than visible matter. They are a trinity of spirit, soul or mind, and body or matter. Evolution then is the orderly development under law of the triune nature of the immortal spiritual being through a long series of reincarnations. Just as man has developed an intelligent, self-conscious soul immeasurably above that of the creatures below him, so also there are evolved beings whose intelligence is as much above man's as man's exceeds that of the black beetle. These masters or Mahatmas, great souls, work for the race in many ways. At different epochs, they have appeared as great souls, as great sages, philosophers, reformers, teachers, and at larger cyclic intervals as saviors and founders of the great religions. So, to explain that a little bit, we have to give this whole impulse idea to the masters, to the adepts. They are the ones that have this impulse, these ideas, these ancient teachings. So the impulse of spiritual progress is carried by the elder brothers. They have worked to purify their natures by helping others. So when we look at the three fundamental propositions, then we can see that it is a whole continuum of processes, of progress, with these fundamental propositions of deity, law, and evolution. And if we look at the process, we can see how this impulse to further the theosophical movement can be carried out. So the masters appear on Earth, as was said, in a cyclical period dependent upon human need. Their stay is the time needed to impress upon the minds of their younger brothers, meaning us, and what they pass on is the eternal verities which the elder brothers had been impressed on them. And then one more reading we'd like to put forth. It really explains this well. This is from Ancient Landmarks. So here is the true source of the very common belief in revelation, which is not of books read or hymns heard, but of truths impressed in the heart of men. So we're looking that these ideas that have been brought forward by the elder brothers are these truths impressed in the heart of men. This is done so as to ensure the internal truths from being utterly lost or forgotten by the forthcoming generations. Now, to help us look at this idea of the impress of the impulse of the Theosophical movement, we want to know, so practically speaking, what do we need to do with this information? And we can look at it as when in that last reading that we are all impressed with these truths, with these ideas, the teachings that we here at ULT put forth to people. But in order to progress spiritually, though, we need to be able to impress ourselves, to experience these truths. And in today's time, we have so much in the way of diversion. We detach from these truths without even realizing that we're doing it. So it is on us individually to take that responsibility to put forth these ideas. And we say that about make theosophy a living aspect in our lives. Well, that is studying higher thoughts, not focusing so much on our devices, and helping others, expressing love and compassion. Because the only way that we progress to perfection is by putting forth these ideas and helping others. And the impulse we are being given is a gift. It is in our hearts and it is in our higher selves. So it is up to us to put forth these ideas in a practical, loving, compassionate way. And we know what these ideas are, what the impulse is. We know that the theosophical movement, it has been always and will continue as long as these ideas are impressed upon our souls. So thank you, and we will take questions, comments, discussions. MDW?
Yes. All this being said, why can't I access this knowledge? Why is the world in such turmoil?
Michael.
Right, it's the cycle. It is the this is the Kali Yuga. Everything is upside down. It's topsy-turvy. It's crass materialism. And we don't have to follow the cycle. Since we know about it, we have the option to make those choices. Stand ye out and be separate. We can be separate. We don't have to follow the darkness that is surrounding us.
From another perspective, if we are here and asking such a question, then we have access to the knowledge, at least as which it's been handed down to us. So the issue is, it's in front of us. Why don't I realize it within myself? If it's impressed there, why can't I recognize it? And in the talks, the importance of self-induced and self-devised effort was mentioned. The importance of karma, the causes set up that either aid or hinder our access to that divine presence of light, of wisdom, of power. So, what distinguishes us from the Mahatmas, the great souls we spoke of? Is the effort that they've made to purify their natures, to develop them to the highest possible degree, so that light, that wisdom, that power that is within each one of us can come forth clearly. And so when they put these ideas forth, it's not for the purpose that we would worship them or put them on a pedestal, but we would follow the path that they show and become as them to live up to our full divine potential and to become co-workers in the great process of evolution.
MDW?
So to become a co-worker, that means we need to cooperate rather than compete with each other.
So the idea of cooperation is a definite positive idea that we can do. We do have to study individually and to understand what these ideas and these truths are, but to help each other and the compassion for others. And if we are able to spread these ideas to others, then that's cooperation and that idea as well.
We have an interesting chat, which we'll read. Buddhism explains the internal prison of the mind. However, the Nag Hammadi, which are Gnostic teachings, explains the external architectural prison of reality itself. Do we not need to know both? So, We mentioned before in the process of evolution, the spiritual soul, the monadic essence, descends into lower and more dense degrees of matter for the purpose of raising up the matter and all the life, the conscious life forms within. That's part of its mission. Its also mission is through that experience to gain a truer realization of its own divine potential through that contrast and to purify its own nature, to return home, as the expression was given. But in descending into those forms of matter is a, it is as it were, it forgets, or it becomes imprisoned in those forms. And so, as we said, the one of the essences of the theosophical movement is liberation. What is that liberation? Well, it's liberation of our spiritual nature from the confines of matter, the material body, the spiritual, the physical senses, liberation of the mind too, because our thoughts, our ideas, our feelings become self-made prisons, but also the thoughts and ideas we absorb passively from the society and forces around us also imprison us. So it's a mental liberation from ideas, dogmas, superstition, but it's also a liberation from those forms or institutions or even bodies that limit the expression of the soul and its mission. So we need, that part of life is to experience both, but we do not need to stay bound down it. And it's the purpose of the theosophical movement down through the ages to wake up the souls entrapped and using these forms to the realization of their own divine impulse so that they too can call upon it and participate in the evolution of soul as the masters do.
And just to follow up a little bit with that, it's interesting that the chat states it as an internal prison of the mind. And we know that mind is dual, and we're looking at the lower mind, and the whole purpose is to try and raise up that lower mind to the higher, more spiritual aspect of it. But it's our mind that we think we receive when the chat says external architecture prison of reality. I mean, the lower mind receives those impressions from the outside and, kind of has that as a learning experience that it needs to function. And if we're looking at this the outside world more than the inner nature, then we're going to be we won't be able to look at this higher aspect that we want that lower mind to rise to.
We also would like to follow up on that chat because at the very end it points our attention to another aspect of the impulse behind the theosophical movement, and that is the phrase, just a question. Well, a question is an expression of a thinker that wants to know. And what does it want to know? What does the mind want to know? Well, it wants to know truth. It's a search for truth. And so we can see throughout time in all places, wherever there is a movement characterized by the search, the sincere, honest, undaunted search for truth and questioning of what is the reality of life? What is the reality of my own nature? What is the reality of mission? my life and mission. Wherever we see that, there's an aspect of the theosophical movement. When we hear expressions such as, I know the truth, I am here to teach you the truth, and you have to accept it, or this is the truth that you have to believe, that's dogmatism. And it's to break those external and internal shackles of dogmatism, because very often those internal ideas become institutionalized. That's another expression or object, we might say, of the theosophical movement, wherever it has been found. And as Mr. Judge puts it, as ever, wherever thought has struggled to be free, there we find some aspect, some impulse for the theosophical movement.
Yeah, there's a follow-up on that chat, because the go out is to go within, no? And while we are bringing the environment in, and we have to, our lessons are to learn to divest ourselves, to detach from the materialism of the time. So we're looking outward. We with our senses, we bring in what is going on. So it's almost like we have to build a wall to let certain things in and prevent other things from coming in and to keep them out.
TB, you have your hand up for a question.
Yes, I have a question about the reference that the speaker made about ancient landmarks. What is that? Is that a text by Blavatsky, or is it a pamphlet?
The Ancient Landmarks is a compilation. We think it's mostly from, correct me, anybody. We think it's mostly from The Secret Doctrine. I'm sorry, Magazine Theosophy.
Yes.
The articles, and it's about ancient ideas. And we have it here at the lodge, and it's a very helpful reference. And the first speaker, can you add anything on how it was developed? We know it's a compilation. There it is.
Here's the ancient landmarks, and it's not published by the Theosophy Company, but we do have copies of it. And when you look through the table of contents, this is the effort of a student or a group of students to collate from various theosophical sources, as mentioned, information about the history of the movement as we specifically see it among the Greeks, the Hindus, in Egypt, in China, down through the ages. And all these articles are published in Magazine Theosophy, which we do, which is a portion of it's online, but we do have the copies of it at the lodge. And it's in volume, it's a continuous series that is in that magazine from volume 14 mostly to volume 16. So it is available for those who want to get into the detailed study of the movement.
Okay, thank you. So I can get it at the library at the lodge.
You can get it at the library. You can also have a copy made for yourself.
Oh, okay, that would be great. Okay. So do I need to speak to somebody at the lodge at some point?
You can contact the lodge by email or phone and arrange for that.
Is this
Okay.
still accessible online?
Is it accessible to online? We don't know if there's a particular lodge that's re reproduced it online, but we know that there are some there are some websites that do give specific articles in the Theosophical in Magazine Theosophy. Have an index in which you can look up the ancient landmark series. It's a little bit more work. That's why it was compiled into this document.
Okay. All
Another,
right, I'll send an email. I'll send an email this week. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Another great resource is another series called Great Theosophists, which does the same thing, but rather than looking at historical movements or groups of people, looks at individuals who've made contributions along the same line. So those two documents are available in bound form at the lodge.
Okay, thank you.
We have
a comment.
It can be found at ultindia.org.
Okay. The entire series? Okay.
Yes.
All right, great. ultindia.org. And
yes.
Is that under, do you find that under magazines or is it a separate publication?
It's on ancient landmarks. Just put in ancient landmarks and theosophy, and ultindia.org comes up, takes you right to it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. So to go out is to go within. Well, if the human, one of the fundamental ideas of the theosophical movement, wherever we may see it, and we can even go back to that Greek expression found at the Temple of Apollo, man, know thyself. And it goes on to say, and knowing thyself to be a god, act appropriately. So what does it mean to know thyself? Well, you have to go within. And as you do go within, you learn more about the outside world around you. And as you study the outside world, you learn more about the inner world. So the whole purpose of these eternal truths that were talked about, the three fundamentals and others, is to make us aware of this fact of universal brotherhood, that we are a copy of the universe. And, or as sometimes said in the Hermetic tradition, as above, so below. So the study of theosophy is not only going out and studying what is in print, what we hear in lectures, what we observe in nature around us, but it is also a study and looking within, understanding our own mental, moral, psychic nature and spiritual nature.
So, and when we're looking at the impulse of the theosophical movement, we also need to understand that the movement has been around from time immemorial. We have ideas from the ancient philosophers in writing, and it's just amazing that this movement has been so impressed upon the human kingdom that it continues today to be brought forward. And we are very grateful to the founders of the Theosophical Society that they put all these ideas down in writing. We have to amend that we can understand. There are more of these ideas that are being held back at this time, but we have this wonderful philosophy in writing that we can access. So when we're thinking of this idea to go, outside, to go inside, we have the writings that we can use to help us to go inside and to focus on these ideas rather than some of the more mundane, materialistic ideas that basically we're floating around in. So we're just grateful that we have them.
But sometimes we hear from the platform the expression the modern theosophical movement. Well, the theosophical movement in its spiritual aspect is neither ancient or modern, Eastern or Western. It's both and it's neither because it's spiritual, it's eternal. But as said before, its periodical expression is manifest cyclically among people. So we might say the most recent complete cyclical expression of these ideas, these spiritual truths, occurred in the 19th century, 1875. And not because necessarily some group decided, well, this is when we're going to start. But also because it was in harmony with certain natural cyclical impressions in nature, which we'll hear more about next week, that made it an opportune time to bring forth these ideas and these influences to their most complete expression in our more recent times. Efforts have been made, as we will see, in ancient times throughout the Middle Ages. The modern theosophical movement, to use that term, began with HPB and the efforts of the Theosophical Society and the publications from HPB and Peter to Judge.
We have a comment here in Theosophy Hall.
So there have been seven cyclical impressions in the latter part, the last quarter of each century, starting with Tsongkhapa in 1375 through 1975, and publicly since 1875. But these cyclical impulses have formed deeper and deeper grooves, impressing on our nature the fundamental principles and the absolute necessity for practicing these principles in order to improve the world in these dark ages. And we should also mention that the Bhagavad Gita itself, which is 5,000 years old, was given to humanity as a guide and a light, a beacon to steer us through these turbulent waters, which we find ourselves in the Kali Yuga. So the Kali Yuga started 5,000 years ago, but we have not been without help in this time, which is a very difficult time, but it's also we can make the greatest progress during the Kali Yuga, far more than in any other era.
Yeah, so of course, the particular details of that cyclical expression in the last 25 years of every century, we expect will be covered more completely next week. So we won't talk too much about it. But the Bhagavad Gita was brought up. And so we recall Krishna saying, speaking as that spiritual impulse within the heart of every human soul, speaking as the spiritual impulse coming forth from the great unknown, speaking of the cyclical impression and the efforts of the Lodge of Adepts. He says, thus I incarnate from age to age for the establishment of righteousness. So we see that same idea of that impulse, that divine impulse, appearing cyclically for the purpose of improvement of the human condition, expressed in many different ways, in many different traditions.
So we just have a couple minutes left if anybody wants to make a comment or a question or a chat. MDW?
So apparently we are an expression of the Theosophical movement by holding these public meetings. So that are we in fact forming the nucleus of a universal brotherhood by holding meetings such as this, or talking about these ideas?
Yes, so that is, as we see, one of the objects. It is the primary object of the Theosophical movement. And we might say part of it is the collectivity, the association, the companionship of like minds searching for truth that initiates the formation of the nucleus of universal brotherhood. Because in doing that, in associating with others, we get a greater understanding. We remove the blinders in our own individual vision, and sometimes the thoughts and questions of another human being can help us see things that we could not see on our own. And with that better understanding, we can help better our fellow human beings. But the study, mutual or individual, is only part of it. The other part of it, forming that nucleus, forming, that's creation, that's a power. That's putting these ideas, making them practical in our everyday life. So with that, we'll draw our meeting to a close, and to say to everyone, make it a great day. Meeting is adjourned.
See everybody Wednesday.